Hey everyone, and welcome to our deep dive. We're going to be taking a deep dive into Hezekiah's reign today.
Ooh, Hezekiah.
Through the lens of Dr. August Conkle's lecture on the Book of Chronicles.
Okay.
Now, Hezekiah might not be as famous as like a David or a Solomon.
Yeah.
But the chronicler,
right?
You know, the author of Chronicles dedicates a surprising amount of space to his story.
Yeah.
So why is that?
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it?
What makes Hezekiah's reign so special?
Yeah, you've hit on a fascinating point right off the bat.
That's what we're here to figure out.
The chronicler gives us four chapters on Hezekiah, which is a lot.
That's a lot.
Compared to some of the other kings.
Yeah.
And interestingly, the focus isn't just on the Assyrian siege, which is a major event that other historical sources like the Book of Kings highlight.
So it's not just about the political or military dramas then.
Exactly. The chronicler seems to be drawing a parallel between Hezekiah and King Solomon.
Okay.
Particularly in their efforts to solidify worship in Jerusalem.
Okay, hold on back up for a second.
Sure.
For those of us who need a quick refresher, what's the significance of Solomon in this context?
Great question. King Solomon is remembered for building the first temple in Jerusalem, making it the central place of worship for the Israelites.
Right.
He's seen as a figure who unified the nation through religious practice.
Got it.
Yeah.
So the chronicler is suggesting Hezekiah is kind of a second Solomon focusing on revitalizing faith rather than just conquering land.
That's a really insightful way to put it. Mm. By Hezekiah's time, the other major religious centers, the shrines at Baal and Dan, were gone.
Right.
This gave Hezekiah a unique opportunity to bring everyone back to the Jerusalem temple,
okay,
reestablishing it as the sole center of worship.
And the chronicler really gets into the nitty-gritty of how Hezekiah restored the temple itself,
right?
Like, it's not just a quick mention. We get a whole play-by-play.
You're absolutely right. The level of detail is striking.
Yeah.
The chronicler describes the cleansing, the repairs, even the specific rituals being reinstated.
But it's about more than just physical restoration.
Right.
Remember, the temple wasn't just a building.
Right.
It symbolized God's presence and rule in Judah.
So Hezekiah is essentially rebuilding the nation's relationship with God alongside the physical structure.
Yeah.
That makes the whole thing feel a lot more symbolic.
It does.
And if I remember correctly, the chronicler is also emphasizing that Hezekiah kicked off this whole restoration movement.
Yes.
Even before Josiah.
Yes.
Who many people associate with religious reforms.
That's a common misconception.
Hmm.
The chronicler makes it clear that Hezekiah was the first to initiate this large-scale return to proper worship.
Okay.
And it's not just about the building and the rituals either.
Right.
The chronicler highlights Hezekiah's attention to the music and liturgy, the songs of praise, and the role of the musicians.
Okay.
He's making sure that every aspect of worship is restored to its former glory.
It's interesting how the chronicler emphasizes these artistic elements of worship.
Yeah. It really paints a vibrant picture of what this religious revival looked like in practice.
Yeah.
So we've got a beautifully restored temple.
Right.
Worship is back on track.
Yes.
What's next on Hezekiah's agenda?
Well, the grand centerpiece of Hezekiah's reforms is the revival of the Passover festival.
Hmm.
And this is where things get particularly interesting.
The Passover.
Yeah.
Now, I know Passover is a big deal in the Jewish tradition.
Sure.
But what made Hezekiah's celebration stand out?
Yeah.
It's described almost like a national event.
It's important to remember that Passover over time evolved from a family-based ritual into a major pilgrimage festival.
Mm.
By Hezekiah's time, it drew people from all corners of the land to Jerusalem.
I see. So it wasn't just a local Jerusalem celebration.
Right.
Hezekiah was actually reaching out to all the tribes of Israel.
Exactly.
Even though the northern kingdom was long gone at this point.
Exactly. He issued this invitation to Shul.
Shul.
A word that holds a powerful double meaning.
Ooh, a double meaning. I love it when ancient texts get playful like that.
Right.
Break it down for me.
Okay.
What are the two meanings of Shul?
It means both repentance and return.
Mm.
So Hezekiah is calling on the people to turn back to God.
Okay.
And also to physically return to Jerusalem for this Passover celebration.
Got it.
And the text makes a point of mentioning that a proper Passover hadn't been celebrated like this.
Wow.
Since the very beginning of the kingdom.
So this wasn't just a regular festival.
Yeah.
This was a major revival of faith and tradition.
It was a big deal.
It makes you wonder what kind of response Hezekiah got.
Yeah.
Did people actually answer his call to shul?
They did, and in a way that no one could have anticipated. People came from all over.
Really?
They were completely unprepared for this level of participation.
Oh, wow. So it's a good problem to have, right?
Right.
Everyone is so eager to reconnect with their faith and celebrate Passover, but...
Right, but there weren't enough priests, and they simply didn't have the resources to carry out the traditional Passover rituals, according to the letter of the law.
So what do they do?
Ah,
I can't imagine they just turned people away.
They had to think on their feet.
Yeah.
They adapted the rituals, finding ways to accommodate everyone who had come to Jerusalem seeking renewal and connection.
It must have been quite a sight to see.
It must have been. It
makes you wonder what those adaptations looked like.
Yeah.
Was there any pushback from those who insisted on strictly adhering to the traditional ways?
The chronicler doesn't go into those specifics, but we do get a glimpse into Hezekiah's state of mind amidst this unexpected situation.
Okay.
He turns to God in prayer.
It seems to be a recurring theme with Hezekiah turning to prayer in times of uncertainty or challenge.
Yeah.
What does he say in this prayer?
He acknowledges that they've fallen short in their observance of Passover in the past, and that even now they're having to adjust the rituals.
Right.
But he pleads for God's mercy, emphasizing the sincere desire of the people to come back to him.
So he's acknowledging their imperfection.
Yes.
While also highlighting the sincerity of their intentions.
Exactly.
There's a real humility in that.
And this prayer actually echoes a key moment from Solomon's story.
Mm.
His prayer during the Gibeon vision.
The Gibeon vision.
Do you remember that account?
Refresh my memory.
Okay.
It's been a while since I've delved into the Gibeon vision.
Well, in that vision, God appears to Solomon.
Right.
And grants him wisdom.
Okay.
Solomon, recognizing the weight of his responsibility, asks God to always hear the prayers of his people.
Oh, okay.
Especially when they turn back to him in repentance.
Ah, yes. Now I remember.
Yeah.
So Hezekiah's prayer during this unconventional Passover is like a fulfillment of Solomon's request.
Exactly.
The people are returning to God.
Yes.
And their leader is pleading on their behalf.
Yes.
Trusting in God's mercy and forgiveness.
Precisely. And the chronicler doesn't leave us hanging.
Okay.
He emphasizes that God hears Hezekiah's prayer and responds with healing both for individuals and for the nation as a whole.
So Hezekiah's Passover becomes more than just a celebration.
Right.
It's a symbol of this national return to faith.
Yeah.
A rededication to their covenant with God.
Exactly. It represents a turning point for Judah.
Okay.
And that raises an important question. What is it about Passover that makes it such a powerful symbol of redemption? Both in Hezekiah's time and throughout Jewish history.
That is a great question. I'm curious to hear your perspective on that.
Okay.
Why is this particular festival so central to the Jewish faith?
Right.
I mean, we know the basic story from Exodus.
Yeah.
The Israelites escaping slavery in Egypt.
Right.
The blood of the lamb protecting them from the final plague.
Yes.
But what are the deeper layers of meaning?
Well, on the most fundamental level, Passover commemorates the very birth of the Israelite nation.
Okay.
It's a reminder of their liberation from oppression, the slaying of the firstborn, and God's unwavering protection.
Right.
But it also points forward to a future redemption.
I see. So it's both a celebration of past deliverance and a hopeful anticipation of future liberation.
Yes. The Passover lamb in particular becomes a powerful symbol of sacrifice and atonement.
Okay.
And for those who follow the Christian tradition,
right,
the Passover takes on an even deeper meaning.
Right. Jesus is often referred to as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Yes.
That connection to the Passover imagery is pretty profound.
Absolutely. During the Last Supper, which was a Passover meal,
right,
Jesus explicitly draws that connection. He says, "This is my body, which is given for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you."
Wow.
He's essentially reframing the Passover as a foreshadowing of his own sacrifice.
It's fascinating how an ancient ritual like Passover can hold so many layers of meaning.
Yeah.
And connect to different faiths and historical moments.
It speaks to the enduring power of stories and symbols to transcend time and culture.
So we've talked about temple restoration, a remarkable Passover celebration, and even touched upon connections to Christian theology.
Right.
Where does all this leave Hezekiah in the grand narrative of the Hebrew Bible?
Right.
What makes him such a pivotal figure, especially for the chronicler?
The chronicler portrays Hezekiah as a turning point for Judah.
Okay.
He's not just restoring buildings and rituals.
Right.
He's restoring the heart of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
He's bringing them back to a right relationship with God.
Okay.
And he's not limiting his efforts to Judah alone.
He's reaching out to all the tribes of Israel, urging them to Sheol to repent and return.
Exactly. And remember, this isn't about political unification.
Right.
The northern kingdom is gone.
Right.
Hezekiah is aiming for a spiritual reunification.
Okay.
A restoration of their shared identity as the people of God.
So this Passover celebration becomes a powerful symbol of that spiritual unity.
Exactly.
A moment where all of Israel, regardless of geographical boundaries, comes together to reaffirm their covenant.
Precisely. They're united in their confession, their repentance, and their participation in God's redemption.
It's a powerful image, particularly considering the often tumultuous and divided history of the Israelites.
Right.
It makes Hezekiah's reign about so much more than just military victories or political maneuvering.
It does.
It's about a spiritual revival, a renewal of faith that ripples outwards.
And it's a testament to the power of leadership that prioritizes faith and unity.
Mm-hmm.
A message that resonates even today.
Absolutely.
Think about it. What are some of the qualities we look for in leaders, especially in times of crisis or division?
Well, authenticity, a genuine concern for the well-being of the people they lead.
Exactly. And those are qualities that Hezekiah embodied, at least according to the Chronicler's account.
Right.
He led with a deep commitment to his faith, and he inspired others to reconnect with their own spirituality.
It makes me wonder if you could step back in time and witness any event from Hezekiah's reign, what would it be?
Wow, that's a tough one.
Right. I'd love to be like a fly on the wall during those events to see how it all played out.
Yeah.
Like experience the atmosphere, the energy, the emotions.
I think for me, it would be a toss up between two key moments.
Okay.
First, the bustling activity of the temple restoration.
Oh, yeah.
To see the skilled artisans and craftsmen at work meticulously restoring the intricate details of this sacred space.
Imagine seeing those ancient techniques come to life,
mm-hmm.
you know, and witnessing the dedication of those involved in bringing the temple back to its former glory. Be a real glimpse into the artistic and religious sensibilities of the time.
Absolutely. But then there's that extraordinary Passover celebration.
Oh, yeah.
To witness the sheer joy and unity. The sense of shared purpose as people from all walks of life, from the most humble villager to the wealthiest merchant,
right.
come together united in their faith and their desire to reconnect with their heritage.
I think that would have to be my choice as well.
Yeah.
To feel the energy of that massive gathering, to hear the prayers and the songs echoing through the city. It would be a truly immersive experience.
Yeah. It would be a powerful reminder of the human need for connection.
Right.
For belonging for something greater than ourselves. And in a way, isn't that what Hezekiah's entire reign seems to be about? A reawakening of faith, a return to shared values, a rebuilding of community.
You know, it's interesting you bring up that idea of community because there's one significant aspect of Hezekiah's reign that we haven't really talked about yet.
Right.
And that's the Assyrian siege of Jerusalem.
Yes.
I mean, it's a pretty dramatic event.
Yes.
But the chronicler doesn't really seem to dwell on it.
Right.
Why do you think that is?
You've hit on a key point. The Assyrian siege, with its military tactics and political intrigue,
right.
doesn't quite fit the chronicler's narrative focus. Remember, he's presenting Hezekiah as a model of spiritual leadership,
right.
someone who prioritizes the restoration of faith
right.
over military prowess or political maneuvering.
So while the Assyrian siege was undoubtedly like a major event in Hezekiah's reign,
yeah.
it's not the defining moment for the chronicler.
Stop.
He's more interested in showcasing Hezekiah's internal reforms.
Right.
His efforts to bring the people back to God.
Exactly. It's as if the chronicler is saying, yes, the external threats were real, but the real battle was for the heart of the nation. And Hezekiah fought that battle with prayer, with repentance, with an unwavering commitment to restoring their covenant with God.
That's a really insightful way to frame it. It makes me think about how we often focus on those external struggles, you know, the visible conflicts.
Yeah.
While neglecting those internal battles.
Right.
For faith, for unity, for spiritual renewal, I think those internal battles are just as important, maybe even more so.
Absolutely. And in a way, they're more universal. Everyone, regardless of their background or their beliefs, faces those internal struggles at some point in their lives.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Hezekiah's reign,
yes.
what are some of the key takeaways for our listeners?
Okay.
What can we learn from this somewhat lesser-known king and the chronicler's unique perspective on his legacy?
Well, I think there are several valuable insights to glean.
Okay.
First, the importance of spiritual leadership.
Mm.
Hezekiah, as portrayed by the chronicler, reminds us that true leadership involves more than just managing external affairs. It's about inspiring people,
yeah,
guiding them back to their core values,
okay,
nurturing their spiritual growth.
And that leadership isn't necessarily about having all the answers,
right,
or wielding absolute authority.
Right.
Hezekiah, faced with this unexpected influx of people for Passover, had to adapt.
He did.
He had to be flexible to rely on God's guidance.
Yes. And that brings us to another key takeaway.
Okay.
The power of humility and prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Hezekiah, despite his royal status, never shied away from acknowledging his own shortcomings.
Right.
And seeking God's help.
It's a reminder that even the most capable leaders,
yes,
need to rely on something greater than themselves, especially in times of uncertainty or challenge.
Absolutely.
And finally, I think Hezekiah's story highlights the importance of community, of shared purpose,
mm-hmm,
of coming together to celebrate and reaffirm our common values.
It does.
The Passover celebration, as described by the chronicler, serves as a powerful symbol of that unity.
Mm.
A reminder that we're stronger together than we are apart.
Well said.
So to our listeners out there, we leave you with this thought. What aspect of Hezekiah's reign resonates most with you?
Yeah.
What lessons or inspirations can you draw from his story and apply to your own life? We encourage you to keep exploring, to dig deeper into the Book of Chronicles.
Yes.
And to discover your own insights into this fascinating period of biblical history.
And don't forget to check out Dr. Cockle's full lecture. There's a wealth of knowledge waiting to be uncovered.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Hezekiah's reign. Until next time, keep questioning, keep learning, and keep the spirit of discovery alive.